Good morning, members. Choice and Innovation Subcommittee will now come to order. Misty, please call the roll.
Chair Tuck is excused. Vice Chair Coster?
Here.
Ranking Member Valdez?
Present.
Representative Altman?
Here.
Representative Amnesty?
Here.
Representative Baker?
Here.
Representative Bankson?
Here.
Representative Basabi? Representative Chambliss? Representative Dunkley? Representative Garcia?
Present.
Representative McLean?
Here.
Representative Nixon? Representative Persons Mullica?
Here.
Representative Porras?
Here.
Representative Roach?
Present.
Representative Stark?
Here.
Representative Waldron?
Here.
Thank you, members. A quorum is present. Members, please remember to silence all electronic devices, be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee, and make sure your microphones are on and off after you have been recognized. We have several bills on the committee on the agenda this morning. First, we are going to take up HB 1393 by Representative Snyder relating to Florida School for Competitive Academics. Representative Snyder, you're recognized to explain HB 1393.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Vice Chair, one and the same, and members. Ranking Member Valdez, good to see you this morning. It's not every day that we have the opportunity to make history, but today is one of those days. Members, with your favorable support, we will begin the process to bring to life the Florida School for Competitive Academics, which will offer to children around the state an opportunity to participate in a rigorous academic curriculum while also focusing on preparing to compete in local, regional, and national academic competitions in the fields, including but not limited to science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and others. Happy to answer any questions, but that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Snyder. Members, any questions? You're recognized, Representative Gossett-Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning.
Hold on. I apologize. It's early and it's Monday. You're recognized. I called you the wrong name, so you're recognized. Still, under your correct name, you are recognized.
That's okay. No problem. With regard to this, just out of curiosity, since your district's in Martin County, right? And why Alachua?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And not to worry, we've been in committee for the last hour, so we've been a couple coffees in. Thanks for the question, Representative Waldron. So primary reason in Alachua that is there's a gentleman who has had some tremendous track record with producing several individuals who have won these national competitions. Seems to be a central location for the state, and this will ultimately be open as a residence-based school for children all around the state to come participate in education and also live there on campus.
You're recognized.
Thank you. So it'll primarily be focused on STEM?
You're recognized.
Science, technology.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
You're recognized for a follow-up.
And what would be the reasoning behind having its own private law enforcement group and not just using the sheriffs?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's actually something we are looking at in an amendment. I know my Senate counterparts did remove that provision at their last stop. We didn't have the chance to get that in the right posture, but I would be happy to work with you. Originally, we thought that would be the best way to facilitate school safety, but after engaging with some additional stakeholders, we've realized its own law enforcement will not be necessary after all.
Okay. And just
you're recognized for a follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you mentioned that you have it in Alachua because there's a gentleman there who's done this before. Who is that?
You're recognized.
Yeah, again, he's not officially a part of the school as is. I'm happy to send you over his bio and some additional information on him.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Members, any additional questions? Okay, seeing none, we are in public testimony. There are no amendments right now. No public testimony. Members are in debate. Any debate on the bill? You're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to say this is a great bill. Competition always causes everyone to excel, and it's just great to have that opportunity, not just in the sports arena, but in the knowledge arena. And so I think it'll really help our students to sharpen themselves and be on the top of competition in the world stage. Thank you.
Seeing no further debate, Representative Snyder, you're recognized to close.
Hope to have your favorable support, members. Thank you.
Representative Snyder having closed on his bill. Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Wasabi? Chambliss? Dunkley? Garcia?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon? Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Horace? Roach?
Yes.
Starr?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes, waiting on that amendment.
12, Waldron?
Yes, waiting on the amendment. Thank you.
And Chair Tuck.
Members, by your vote, HB 1393 is reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, members, we're going to take up CS for HB 591 by Representative Rayner Goolsbee and Representative Saroy relating to social media protection for minors. Representatives, you are recognized to explain CS for HB 591.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Representative Saroy, you're not going to stay?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So thank you so much, Madam Chair Coster and Chair Tuck in her absence and ranking member Valdez. And thank you for your co-sponsorship. Members, this is HB 591, Social Media Bill Protection Act for Children. And some of you have had the privilege, I would say, to see this bill. This is a bill that myself and Representative Saroy have been working on for nearly about a year. This is a bill that protects the children of Florida when it comes to social media. It provides guidelines, it provides accountability, and it ensures that the children of the state of Florida will be protected, and that the social media companies that operate within this state will make sure that they meet the guidelines to know that our children are being safe on social media. That is the bill. There is a technical amendment, but that's the bill so far.
All right. Thank you, Representative Rayner Goolsbee. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Porras, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for taking my text the other day. I just wanted to clarify what social media platforms is this bill addressing?
You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you. Thank you very much for your question. Any algorithm-based social media platform?
Any additional questions, members? Okay, seeing none, we do have an amendment. Representative Rayner Goolsbee, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 439457.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. And members, this is just a technical amendment. It just removes the lines 87 through 88 and inserts a public K through 12 school may not. That is the amendment.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none. Members, any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, you're recognized to close, to close on your amendment.
Wave close.
Representative Rayner Goolsbee having closed on her amendment. Seeing no opposition to the amendment, we will show the amendment adopted without objection. Members, we're back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill as amended? We do have a few appearance cards. Corey Marshall, Chamber of Progress, an opponent of the bill. You are recognized.
Good morning. Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair Coster, Ranking Member Valdez, and distinguished members of the committee. My name is Corey Marshall, and I serve as a Director of State and Local Government Relations for the Chamber of Progress, a technological organization representing Amazon, Apple, Google. Our partners don't have a vote or veto over our positions. I'd like you to know that. We urge your committee to oppose HB 591. We agree that protecting young people online is an important goal. In recent years, many platforms have heard the concerns from parents and researchers and have implemented new features to protect younger users. These new features include limiting notifications at night, restricting messaging from advertisers, and increasing protections for content uploaded by children. This bill in its current form would sacrifice all users' privacy in the name of increased security. That means everyone in this room. HB 591 would require covered platforms to treat users under 18 differently than users over the age of 18. Specifically, Section 1 of the bill requires platforms to present a disclaimer to users who are under the age of 18. One of the only ways to estimate users' ages with enough certainty to avoid liability under this bill would be to affirmatively verify their age. The de facto age verification requirement would also likely result in covered entities extracting even more data about their users. It's common knowledge in this country that users of social media platforms want these platforms to extract less information about them, not more. There's disagreement about the best methods for verifying users' ages, but they could include techniques like facial recognition or other biometric scans. Even less invasive methods, like requiring users to enter their birth date or ID in order to enter a site, would still require widespread data collection. Age verification would be particularly harmful for anyone looking to browse anonymously. Journalists, whistleblowers, and anyone looking to participate in online discussions would be forced to disclose personal details so that platforms could apply appropriate settings under this bill. For marginalized teens or those looking for support, social media could be especially beneficial. LGBTQ youth often turn to social media for resources and connection to supportive communities where otherwise they may not have it. Teens looking for information on reproductive or sexual health services, including abortion access or rape crisis centers, can also use social media to be connected with experts and community resources. We agree that we do need to build in greater protections for younger users, but we don't think this is the way to do it. Some of this bill's requirements would undermine the protections it tries to create and would end up harming vulnerable users, even those users who are over the age of 18. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Are you available for a quick question?
Yes, ma'am.
Representative Roach, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, I mean, it seems like the very intent of the bill is to treat minors differently, and it seems that that's your main objection with the bill. But, you know, in the physical world, we treat minors differently all of the time. We ask them to verify their identity if they're going to buy a pack of cigarettes, if they're going to buy alcohol, if they're going to buy ammunition, firearms, or even some literature, magazines, whatnot. And even in the digital world, I mean, even to apply for a library card online, you have to verify your age. So I don't understand why you're so bent out of shape about having them verify their age online to access what could be a damaging platform. Could you comment on that? Because it seems like other areas of both the physical and the online world were asking them to verify their age. So what's the difference?
You're recognized.
Thank you very much. I would not categorize my testimony as bent out of shape. I would categorize it as simply being simply the fact that every person over the age of 18 would effectively be required to verify their age. And if there are adults who don't want to do that, if there are adults who don't want to verify their age, they would not be able to utilize social media platforms. They would not be able to otherwise have access to information that generally they would be.
I guess they would have the choice, like they do in any other commercial engagement or purchase, to engage in that market or not. Just like if they don't want to verify their age to go see a rated R movie, they have a choice of not verifying their age or not seeing the movie. I don't understand why adults should not have that choice. Minors should not have that choice. I just don't understand the difference, the argument that you're making. We have those structures so much a part of our everyday society, and this bill is trying to protect children. I just don't understand the concern. I'm not getting it.
We agree that protecting children online is a very important process in which we'd love to work with the members here in Florida around. I don't think it would be a choice for adults or anyone to log onto these platforms if there were age gates built into these platforms. That's not a choice. This law requires social media companies to follow the law. If they do not follow this law, they would be in violation. And the only way for them to follow this law would be for them to affirmatively verify all users' ages. And it's not a choice to log on to a social media website. It's not an option. This bill does not present an option for you to verify your age. It is a requirement.
I think we are solid. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for your question, sir.
Next up, we have Damaris Allen, Florida PTA, waving in support. Thank you for being here. Members, that concludes public testimony. We are now in debate. Any members in debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Raynor Gools or Representative Saroy, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. I appreciate your attention this morning. I want to make it very clear, yes, the bill's intent is to provide certain protections for folks under the age of 18 when it comes to social media. And, you know, in following some of the news recently and seeing that other states are now taking a look at this issue, you know, my co-sponsor and I haven't had an opportunity to talk about this, but maybe our bill needs to be stronger. You know, maybe now is the time to strike while the iron is hot and people are paying attention to this issue. I also have to tell you how much fun I have had working with my colleague, Representative Raynor, on this bill. You know, I think that we've learned a lot from each other. We've had a good time working on this issue, and I look forward to continuing to make some progress on it. I want to be very clear, and I want to be certain that you understand where I think we're both coming from. I believe that social media is a severe threat to the youth of this country. And I'm a free market guy. Those of you that I've worked with know that. But when it comes to the health and safety of Floridians, I believe that there's a role for the legislature to step in and engage. And that's what this bill does. You see increase of suicide rates, mental health disorders, social isolationism, the effect that it's having on the body image, particularly of young girls. We've had whistleblowers speak to Congress about this. We see in our criminal justice system, those of you that are prosecutors know this, violent acts occurring in our schools that kids are videotaping and posting on the internet and posting on their feeds, which stay up forever, by the way. They get taken off to other feeder websites and very difficult to take down. Violations of privacy filmed on cell phones, posted to social media. And you see these features that are designed to capture the attention of our youth and keep them engaged. Things like autoplay and infinite scroll. Again, whistleblowers are telling us what this is doing, and we see it happening in our kids. Anybody that's a parent, I think that is following along knows that, you know, this is pervasive and the access to digital information is everywhere on our cell phones, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we have to do something to step in. We have to recognize the impact that this is having on our youth. I fear over the impact that it is having on our country. And I'm glad that we're engaging in this conversation because I really do believe that it's time for us to step in and protect our kids against the harm and invasion of privacy that is going on here. So again, Representative Goolsbee Raynor, it's a pleasure to work with you on it. Members, I ask for your support.
Representatives Raynor Goolsbee and Representative Saroy having closed on their bill. Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabi? Chambliss? Dunkley? Garcia?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon? Yes. Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Chair Tuck is out.
Members, by your vote, CS for HB 591 is reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. Thank you. Next up, members, we're going to take up PCS for HB 1597 by Representative Gossett-Seidman relating to Florida Virtual School. Representative Gossett-Seidman, you're recognized to explain PCS for HB 1597.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, committee members. This is a bill concerning two of our most vital portions of society, military and our children. This is about the military's children. Currently, if a person is stationed in the military in, say, Pensacola, they have children in high school, grade school, those children may take the assessment tests towards their moving on in school each year at the base. If the parent gets transferred to Colorado Springs, Seattle, San Diego, those children currently must fly home to Florida to take their assessment. This puts undue strain and taxes the family and the children. They have two options. They can take a waiver and therefore take a grade of 59%, which is not what I don't think any of us hope our children get as a grade, or they cannot take the waiver and get a zero. In this case, they may fly back to Florida at a cost of time and money to the family in order to move forward. We could have as many as 500 to 1,000 kids in this position every year, and the simple fix would be this bill. This would allow the children to take the assessment at a designated time and place on the base where their parents are stationed with a proctor and a clear definition of how the process would be. And I urge you strongly to please move forward on this so that these kids can be taken care of and not be taxed and perhaps come up with an early failure in their educational career. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? Okay, we do have one public testimony. Melanie Bostic, Florida Virtual School, waving in support. Thank you for being here. That concludes public testimony. Members, any debate? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam. Wave close at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Gossett-Seidman, having waived close, Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabi? Chambliss? Dunkley? Garcia?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon? Yes. Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Forrest?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, PCS for HB 1597 is reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you, committee.
Next up, members, we are going to take up PCS for HB 443 by our very own ranking member, Valdez, relating to education. Representative Valdez, you're recognized to explain PCS for HB 443 from the podium.
Good morning, Chair Koster and committee members. Thank you very much for hearing House Bill, PCS for House Bill 443. And thank you again for allowing me to present this bill. This bill looks to streamline processes and create transparency and provide added relief to our educators. This bill will allow the Department of Education to create a standardized site review form to be used in conjunction with the model contract, making sure transparency for our charter schools is uniform across the state. It requests districts to provide a list of services being provided with the portion of the administrative fee that they withhold from charter schools. Finally, it fixes a glitch in the teacher classroom supply allocation by allowing administrators who step into the classroom because of a vacancy to still be eligible for that funding to purchase needed supplies for that particular classroom. Currently, this only applies to teachers, and we had many administrators who, starting on August 12th, derived a dual capacity due to the teaching shortage that we are facing. So that is the bill, Madam Chair, and I'm open for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Valdez. Members, any questions? Okay, we do have one amendment. So Representative Valdez, you're recognized to explain amendment one.
Great, great. This amendment simply does this. We have students that who are attending the, hang on, let me back up. We have school safety officers whose children are not able to attend the school with their school safety officer. So what this amendment will do is a simple fix that will state that students who are the children of a safe school officer, as defined in statute 10006.12, is available to attend that school, and that's the amendment.
Thank you. Members, any questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, we have a couple public appearance cards. Matthew Dunnigan, Florida Sheriff's Association, waving in support. Marco, no, you spelled it out for me, and I'm still struggling. Panettas, on top of the world, communities. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Marco Paredes, representing on top of the world communities. I just want to publicly thank Representative Valdez for helping us with this issue. This was something that the INA Colon Academy, which is a K-6 charter school in the Colesa Township, which is being developed by the On Top of the World communities, which we know is a retirement community, but Colesa is a community for families. Well, we have a charter school that's built through one of our charitable foundations, and we wanted to allow for an enrollment preference to the children of the Marion County deputy, who is our school resource officer. Well, statute recognizes employees of the school. However, the deputy is an employee of Marion County. So is not an employee of our charter school. So this simple fix allows the children of those school safety officers to go to school with their father or their mother who guards the school. So it's something that's just great for our law enforcement, which I know this legislature is very supportive. So thank you for your support. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for being here. Members, any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, we'll show the amendment adopted without objection. Oh, I didn't even let you close on your amendment. Would you like to close on your amendment?
I wave close.
Having waved close, I'll show the amendment adopted without objection. We are now back on the bill as amended, and we do have a couple parents' cards on the bill. Edward Briggs, Charter School Leaders of Florida, waving in support. And Marco Paredes, On Top of the World Communities, waving in support of the bill as amended. Members, any debate on the bill as amended? You're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Valdez, thank you for your work on charter schools. During your time here in the Florida House, you've certainly been a big supporter of charters. And obviously with the amendment, that affects someone in my county. I appreciate you doing that. Members, the charter school that Mr. Paredes spoke about opened last year. They're doing a great job up there. It's a really, really cool school that they've built. But anyway, thank you for doing that. Great bill. Thanks. I'll be up.
Any further debate? Seeing none, Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you very much, and I wave close.
Representative Valdez having closed on her bill. Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabi? Chambliss? Dunkley? Garcia?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon? Yes. Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Horace?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, PCS for HB 443 will be reported favorably as amended. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, team.
Last but certainly not least, we will take up HB 1115 by Representative Bankson relating to Florida Education Finance Program. Representative Bankson, you are recognized to explain HB 1115 from the podium.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Good Monday morning to everyone. This is a great bill. Currently, the theory of knowledge, TOK, is the only course required for the IB diploma that does not generate bonus full-time equivalent, FTE funding, or a teacher bonus when the student successfully completes the subject's examination. This is because the TOK subject examination is graded on a scale of A to F rather than 1 to 7 in conflict with the current statute. And Madam Chair, I do have an amendment to the bill.
Great. Before we take up the amendment, members, any questions on the bill? Okay. Representative Banks, and you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 320169.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's no change to the purpose of the underlying bill. It's a short bill, so it's a strike-all amendment. Basically, the amendment clarifies that a student must earn the equivalent of a 4 or higher on the subject examination as determined by the Department of Education. Students earning the equivalent score generate a bonus in the amount of $50 for each student taught by the IB teacher in each IB course who receives a score of 4 or higher, or the equivalent as determined by the Department of Education on the IB exam. And also an additional, I like this part, an additional $500 to each IB teacher in a school designated as a D or F school. We know that's a more difficult and a challenging situation. But for those who have at least one student scoring 4 or higher, or the equivalent as determined by the department, they receive this $500 bonus, as well as the $50 per student who meets that bar. And that's the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, we do, that's on the bill. No public testimony. Members, any debate on the amendment? Representative Bankson, you're recognized to close on your amendment.
I just want to recognize our ranking member. I got to get the titles right. Ranking Member Valdez for being a part of this bill as well. This is a great bill, and I just appreciate the opportunity. We know our teachers work hard, and this is making sure that this is an open ability to reward them for the work they're already doing. So with that, I close. Thank you.
Thank you. Having closed on your amendment and seeing no objection, we will report the amendment adopted without objection. We are back on the bill as amended. Members, we do have one public testimony. Megan Fay, Florida Association of World IB Schools, waving in support. Thank you for being here. Members, back in debate on the bill as amended. Any debate on the bill as amended? Representative, Ranking Member Valdez, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much, Chair Koster, and Representative Banks, and thank you very much for bringing this bill forward. What I also see a potential, especially on those schools that have a D and an F school, sometimes what's happening in those schools is not, the grading system for me is a sad thing to a certain degree, because there's so much magic happening for our kids in so many different ways. And I'm hoping that in these particular schools, with the incentives that we've are about to vote on, that it will encourage the principal of that school to increase the availabilities of the courses available to the students, so that then they can have that opportunity to really test those waters. So I appreciate your bill and its intention and the possibilities of how this can really help those schools. So thank you very much for bringing it forward, and I'm really glad to support it. Thank you.
Seeing no further debate, Representative, you're recognized to close on your bill.
And I will wave close. Thank you for your positive support.
Representative Banks, and having closed on his bill, Misty, please call the roll.
Representatives Altman?
Yes.
Amnesty?
Yes.
Baker?
Yes.
Bankson?
Yes.
Basabi, Chambliss, Dunkley, Garcia?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
McLean?
Yes.
Nixon? Yes. Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Stark?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Waldron?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, HB 1115 is reported favorably as amended. Congratulations. All right, members, that concludes our agenda for today's meeting. Seeing no other business, Representative Porras moves we rise. Without objection, meeting is adjourned.